Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We're just 2 weeks away from the primary election to determine who will be on the ballot in the special election on October 16th to fill the late Frank Lautenberg's Senate seat in New Jersey. And to be honest, so far, the very short race has been a little bit dull, although not every single race in the tri-state area can have a sexting or prostitution scandal. To liven things up, I'm joined now by Nancy Solomon, managing editor of New Jersey Public Radio, and Matt Friedman, a reporter covering politics for the Star-Ledger. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. It's not often that New Jersey is dull.
And Matt, welcome to WNYC.
Good morning.
So, Nancy, let's talk first about the state of the race in this primary election. On the Democratic side, so far the latest poll numbers show that Cory Booker looks to be a lock. Is that what you're seeing?
Well, the polls are certainly saying that. He's got a huge advantage. He's got a name recognition advantage. He's got this sort of celebrity status. He's got more money in the bank. He's spending more money on commercials, and the TV airwaves have been pretty well flooded with them. So it's not terribly surprising, although, you know, Cory Booker comes with some baggage. And as we get closer and people start paying attention, you know, we might, Ann Pallone has money and is starting to put ads on TV. So we might see it get a little closer.
And on the Republican side, Steve Lonegan looks to be far ahead of his competitor, Alita Eck. Matt, how much should we give weight to these polls when it's an August 13th primary? What's the conversation about what the turnout could be?
Well, that's the big question, because the presumption is that the turnout is just going to be extremely low. In the middle of August, people are on vacation, and as far as we can tell, the public sector unions are pretty much sitting this one out. So you're not. It's up to the candidates themselves to turn people out to the polls. And frankly, a lot of people aren't paying attention or going to be on vacation. That's the one thing that makes this that makes the polls a little less predictable. See, when you're seeing a 40-point lead of Booker's over his next highest opponent, or in Lonegan's case, more than 50-point lead over his opponent, it's still hard to say that. It's hard to imagine that it could swing that much.
And it also, I mean, this kind of a low turnout crazy election could also really give some advantage to the candidate who has a ground operation that's effective. There have been some emails coming out of the Booker campaign from angry staffers about disorganization and fruitless efforts. And
how do I know about those emails?
Well, I read them on the blog. So, yeah, do we know if they're real? No. But
I can vouch for them. The Star-Ledger published them, so we can vouch for their authenticity.
Okay, so I think it does speak to this idea that, you know, that Pallone and Rush Holt could have very solid ground campaigns that could help them in those last days and really get people out to vote.
Matt, I was in New Jersey just after Sandy and just prior to the presidential election, and there was a lot of conversation about educating New Jersey voters about how to vote by mail if you're going to be out of town, if you weren't going to be in your polling place. Is that sort of thing happening because it's the middle of August and people are likely to be gone? Are campaigns pushing that education about how to get your vote in even if you're not in town?
Well, there's another advantage Cory Booker has, is he's very much teamed up with a lot of the Democratic machines in the state, the historical ones, and especially South Jersey, where George Norcross, insurance executive, is pretty much the be-all and end-all of Democratic politics. They've set up a an early voting operation where they are heads and tails above the rest of the state in putting in absentee ballots, which we can't tell 100% are for Booker, but if you look at the numbers and who's doing the operation, you can see where it's going. So Camden County, for instance, has far more absentee ballots submitted than any other county. Even though it's not the biggest county, it doesn't have the most Democratic voters, but the local Democratic establishment supports Cory Booker. It is a Democratic county, so you can sort of see where it's going there. So Cory Booker very much has a much more advanced operation in getting out the vote early, and that's even more to his advantage. It makes this even more daunting for Pallone and Holt. I think the biggest thing that worked to Booker's advantage in this race, though, was the fact that he started a race with 6 weeks to go, for a special Senate primary with big name recognition, while the other three candidates had virtually none outside of their legislative or congressional districts.
New Jerseyans, we want to hear from you. Is this primary race on your radar at all? Are you getting inundated with radio and TV ads for these candidates, or did you not know it was even coming up? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So again, this is for the seat of Senator Frank Lautenberg, who passed away, and his family has endorsed in this Democratic primary. Nancy, is that expected to have any kind of impact, their backing of Frank Pallone, Congressman Frank Pallone?
Well, you know, I think it captures people's attention, but I don't know if it's going to sway people in terms of how they vote. I mean, it's sort of a interesting storyline that runs through that started months and months ago when Cory Booker announced that he was going to challenge Senator Lautenberg if he didn't retire for the seat. And that greatly upset Senator Lautenberg and his family. So, you know, and Frank Pallone has been, you know, had been courting the family and has been sort of seeing himself as the successor, and that it's his turn to move from Congress to the Senate. But, you know, when the voters go in to hit the lever, I have to agree with Matt. You know, name recognition is so powerful. And I think ultimately that's what Cory Booker has.
Matt, let's also talk about the other congressman in the Democratic primary race, Rush Holt, who's put together this event tonight called Geek Out Live. It seems almost modeled on a TED conference. It's basically a digital town hall with guests including former Secretary of Energy Stephen Chu and Glenn Greenwald, who we had at the top of our show, who's been reporting on NSA surveillance. What kind of campaign event is this, and is there a big base of voters who are wonky intellectuals in New Jersey?
Well, there are, especially in Rush Holt's district. It's the Princeton area. There's a huge
the capital of wonky intellectuals in New Jersey.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that. And there's a big professional class in New Jersey that is scientific research. Even though the pharmaceutical industry is shrinking, it's still there. There's lots of other research, but Rush Holt is a physicist. He's really tried to capitalize on that, and he's run a very unique campaign. I think it's probably been the most interesting and unique of the four campaigns going on right now and what he's tried to do. But if you're talking about just getting out there and appealing to base Democratic voters, that's kind of another story. I think Rush Holt has won the internet on this campaign. He's been featured on the front page of Reddit two or three times. He has put out interesting commercials that talk about his scientific background, all pretty much internet-only ads. But if you're actually talking about motivating base voters in August, it's kind of it's hard to imagine that it's going to make a huge difference. But it's certainly interesting, and whether he's positioning himself for something in the future, who knows, because I think it's caught people's attention.
Well, how interesting that you say Rush Holt has won the internet when Cory Booker is known for his Twitter following in particular. But what about public sector unions? Cory Booker is not loved by teachers unions. Why are they staying out of this?
Well, he's not loved by them, not the slightest bit. The problem for them, and this kind of is one of the things that made this race kind of over when it began, is that you have both Rush Holt and Frank Pallone running. These two have virtually identical records, and the teachers' unions, the public employees' unions, just love them both. They can't really endorse one over the other because they don't want to anger the other one. Rush Holt sits on the Education Committee. They don't want to get on his bad side. They don't want to get on Frank Pallone's bad side. And frankly, they like them both. So it just early on, the union said, you know what, we're going to sit this one out. They might not like Cory Booker, but when Booker's so far ahead in the polls, it might not make a lot of sense to spend resources against someone who's likely to win anyway while getting negative attention. So that was something that sort of neutralized that force very early on in this campaign. And, you know, when the senator first died on June 3rd, and this race looked very promising as a competitive race for about a week, you looked like you had public sector support, that Cory Booker's long-term plans for winning the seat in 2014 seemed turned upside down and that there was some sort of opening. But very quickly, things evolved in Booker's favor, and you kind of went to the status quo of who was the favorite in this race.
Annette, in Montclair, New Jersey, you've been watching the Democratic primary. What do you think?
I have negative feelings about Cory Booker. He seems to be too popular, nationally popular. He's like a media star, and I don't think he's going to take this job very seriously. I'm considering the other two men. Cory Booker is not a person I think who will do a good job in the Senate.
All right, Annette, thanks for your call. Nancy, what about the Booker backlash? Is that a force?
Yeah, I think in many ways Cory Booker sometimes can be a victim of his own success.
He's too popular.
Right. I mean, it aggravates people, but then he's popular. So, you know, I mean, Rush Holt at one point said, "I'll be the first to admit I'm no Cory Booker." He has a video online. He can't afford television advertising, but online he says, "I don't have a million Twitter followers. I never run into a burning building, and I'm not friends with Mark Zuckerberg, though I did like him on Facebook." So, you know, Booker is sort of open to that criticism. He travels around the country. Matt had a good piece in the Star Ledger the other day about Booker canceling a speaking engagement in Iowa. You know, so he's really got to parse these relationships and in his raw political ambition and the possibility that's open to him of this huge success. But yet he's got to stay grounded in Jersey for Jersey folks. So it's a problem. It's been a problem for Chris Christie. It's a problem for Cory Booker.
Matt, what about that cancellation of the speech in Iowa? And also this week there was a Democratic debate and Cory Booker wasn't there.
Right. And he's engaging in the classic front runner strategy, which is if you don't have to put yourself out there and make yourself vulnerable in what you could maybe have a gaffe in a debate, you don't need to participate in. So essentially what Cory Booker has agreed to is two debates, both on one on public radio, one on NJTV, our sort of nonprofit television station. And these are going to be the least listened to and watched debates of all the ones that were proposed, pretty much. So that's his strategy. He didn't really have a compelling reason to miss the debate, which was televised on network television in the New York City and Philadelphia markets. Again, you know, when you're a front runner, you this far ahead, you generally just don't punch down.
Mark in Bridgewater, New Jersey, you haven't heard much about the primary election, huh? Are you there, Mark? Okay, we'll come back to Mark. But Nancy, I want to ask you about the candidacy of Assembly Speaker Sheila Oliver. She's also in this Democratic primary race. We haven't mentioned her at all. It was thought that maybe by her entering the race, she could split the African-American vote. She's also African-American. Has that happened?
Well, she, you know, so far in the polling, no, it hasn't happened. She hasn't raised much money or reported in her last filing that she'd raised money. You know, Ed, I don't think she did particularly well in the debate. She's not isn't accustomed to speaking to the kinds of issues that senators grapple with, national, federal issues. So you had Rush Holt and Frank Pallone, who are very well versed in these issues, and basically Sheila Oliver. What she's got is, I'm the only woman in the race. And so, you know, I think I don't know that it was ever, that she was ever a serious contender. And I don't think she's been able to make herself a serious contender.
And Matt, on the Republican side, we've got Steve Lonergan and Alita Eck. Alita Eck has been a physician who opposes Obamacare. What's the Republican primary debate been about?
Well, there hasn't been much of a debate because essentially you have Steve Lonergan way out ahead. I think there's only been one public poll conducted on the debate, but it was something like he had 62% to X 5%. Steve Lonergan has been running against Cory Booker. He's assuming Cory Booker is going to be the nominee. He's been going around the state and basically pointing out Booker's flaws, going to Newark, trying to take him on his own term. You wouldn't even know there was a Republican primary if you watched carefully. You know, Dr. Eck has barely raised any money, hasn't been very visible on the campaign trail. I think she has tried, but she just hasn't made much of a dent there. So it's really not much of a contest at all. Nobody is wondering the outcome of this one. If the Democratic one is a long shot for the less known candidates, The Republican one is even more of a long shot.
And Nancy, how has Republican Governor Chris Christie come up in this campaigning? I mean, the national political press has been focused on Chris Christie and Rand Paul's differences on national security. Is anybody talking about Governor Christie as they run for the Senate seat?
Well, I think, Governor Christie has masterfully avoided this election and used it to his advantage in the sense that he kept Cory Booker and any Democratic federal election that goes to the Democrats year in and year out off the ballot in November. When he's running for re-election. There hasn't really – I mean, I think we've been waiting for, more reporting to kind of tease out anything that might have been discussed between Chris Christie and Cory Booker. There is an alliance there. And so you have this cross-party friendship. The two of them put together a funny video 6 months to a year ago that was a big hit online. So he basically, by creating a special election, you could interpreted as giving Cory Booker a big leg up and at the same time helping his own self-interest. So it's a interesting alliance, and I don't know that any reporter in New Jersey has really broken that one out enough to say anything definitive. It looks a bit unseemly, but nothing has come out about it.
And Matt, Congressman Pallone, early on when he was just entering the race, tried to make an issue out of Cory Booker's relationship with Chris Christie. Do voters seem to care about that?
Well, one of the problems right now is that Christie's so popular that polls show even around half of Democrats approve of his job performance right now. So it's not exactly the most effective way, though these are the base of the base here. Any voters who come out in this election are the most committed, so they would logically be less inclined to like Christie because these are really the party faithful. But it hasn't really gotten that much traction now, whether that's because he hasn't used the resources he has to really promote that. I mean, he's said some things, but I haven't seen it turn up in his commercials. No, I don't think it's been an effective attack at the moment.
Diana in Chatham, New Jersey, you've already voted?
Yes, I have already voted. I felt very strongly as a citizen of New Jersey that our governor has tried to foist this trick on us of having a special election for the federal Senate seat just a few days virtually before the regular elections, costing the state $24 million. And the primaries are taking place at a time when a lot of people are away on vacation. I myself will be on vacation. And I went to the trouble of getting the absentee ballot, and I urge other people to do so. Yes, I'm one of the party faithful. And as for an alliance between the governor and Cory Booker, I think that the little video was funny and entertaining and maybe helped us some towards Sandy relief. But as for an alliance, I see Cory Booker as being very different than Governor Christie and standing for different things.
All right. Thanks for your call, Diana. And you can, there's no excuse absentee voting. You just go to your county clerk's office and can you cast your vote already, right, Nancy?
Yes, that's right. I think Cory Booker and Chris Christie do differ on many things, but they have had an alliance over education, which is a huge issue. I mean, it's a huge issue everywhere. It's a particularly huge issue in New Jersey. And the two of them have worked closely together. And yet, I would expect that Pallone and Rush Holt are trying to differentiate themselves. But again, it's the television advertising, the name recognition. And, Christie does have huge support in New Jersey among Democrats. And, the extra cost of this election, everybody complained about it, but Christie's poll numbers didn't really change. So, did it really stick to him? I don't think so.
Oh, interesting. Well, 2 weeks from today, we have this primary to fill the New Jersey Senate seat in the U.S. Senate. Nancy Solomon is the managing editor of New Jersey Public Radio, and Matt Friedman covers politics for the Star-Ledger. Nancy, Matt, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Anna.
Thanks.
And you can find links to all of our interviews with all six Senate candidates on our website at WNYC.org. Click on The Brian Lehrer Show. Coming up next, we'll talk to actor, playwright, and now memoirist Najla Saeed. She recalls growing up as a young Arab American woman in Manhattan. That's after the break here on The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Anna Sale.